Okay, good morning, everyone. Wonderful to see some. Okay, let's. Here we go. Good morning, everyone. Boker Tov. Wonderful to see many friends, new and old. I hope you are staying well, staying healthy. I hope everybody can see and hear. A special shout out to the members of the docent community who are here. This presentation is being opened up to our general listening audience, but it's really a celebration and a continuation of a conversation that has been continuing for several years with a group of docents and volunteers at the Illinois Holocaust Museum. And we thank them all for their devoted service to the museum and to telling this important story. So this is the second part of a small series that we're doing, a book club series. The previous book was called Witness, which we'll reference a little bit later, very briefly, and that was about Elie Wiesel. And today's volume is this book, although some of you may have a different edition. It's called Hasidic Tales of the Holocaust by Yaffa Eliach, Aleha HaShalom, of blessed memory. So for those who are familiar with the world of Holocaust studies, so you know that these are difficult conversations and difficult stories. No matter how many years I have been studying and learning with you, I still felt that it was difficult to read this book again, and it was difficult to prepare for this morning again. And even as I was getting ready to click on and join the Zoom this morning, as I was excited to see all of you, there's a certain heaviness and there's a certain depth. And I think part of the reason why this book, at least for me, strikes this very powerful emotional chord, it is because it is a book of stories. And that's where I'd like to begin. The word sipur in Hebrew, which I'm going to put in the chat here so that you can see what I'm talking about, has the following Hebrew letters. Sipur, or the verb lisaper, to tell a story, is the same letters, the same shorish, the same Hebrew word as the book, the word sefer. A sefer, every person, for example, the Torah refers to the story of a human being. Ze sefer, this is the book toldos ha'adam, which literally means the story of mankind, but it also means the story of ha'adam, the person. A sefer, a book, is a sipur, is a story of one person. And that's why it's probably also related, if you're looking in the chat, to see the same Hebrew letters, sin, pei, resh, also relates to the word mispar. Mispar means a number, right? A number means an individual number, not just the aggregate. So a sipur is an expression. A story is a tale. This is a tale. It's a collection of tales. It's a sipur, but it's really a sefer. Every story is its own book, is its own mispar. The pasuk says, "Tilam ha-motzi b'mispar tzva'am," that God takes out all the stars by their number, meaning they each have a significance. Every star shines brightly; is independent. And these, when you connect to that sefer, that sipur, on a deep level, it's so powerful. And perhaps one of the reasons why this book is so powerful and so emotional is because a sipur, a story, is more than just a history. It has a quality that evokes deep feelings, that conveys an experience, sometimes beyond, and sharing a message which transcends the standard prose. Why is it that when God decided to share with us divine wisdom, a divine document that we refer to as the Torah, that book which was given at Sinai, why did it start with stories? Why is the Talmud replete with stories? Because what stories convey in terms of affect, feeling, experience, and most importantly, message transcends oftentimes the commandment or even the narrative, just the standard cold, hard facts. Sometimes in certain areas of life, we say, just the facts, ma'am. Sometimes. But when it comes to understanding a message, especially a deep message, the deepest messages are often taught in the Talmud in stories. So that's the context of this book. It is a book of stories. It is a sefer of Sipurim. And these stories, they are laden with meaning and with memory. These are not just any stories. They are stories that are what we call, what she calls, Hasidic tales. They come from a particular dimension, aspect, facet, component of the Jewish community, and that is known as the Hasidic community. Now, different, it's like saying the Jewish community. There are so many different groups and stripes within the Hasidic community. There are many different subcultures and perspectives, but there are certain commonalities that even those of us who are not Hasidim have seen are described both in this work and elsewhere. And so there's a certain love, a fervor, a devotion, a quality of attachment to the divine service, which is connected with Hasidism. And so when we think about spirituality and spiritual resistance in the Holocaust, in a community where spirituality is highly emphasized, that's something which is going to be able to come to the fore. And part of the reason that she's telling these stories is to be able to express some of that fervor, some of that spirituality that people were tapping into. And part of the reason that we learn this today and we read it today is not just because we want to remember and memorialize those who had that and who experienced and expressed it, but also because we, whether we are from descended from Hasidim or not, we can express this same sentiment. We can connect to it. We can attach to it. One of the main figures who features prominently in this volume is a man by the name of Rabbi Yisrael Spira. Rabbi Yisrael Spira was known as the Blue Shiva Rebbe. I'm going to share his picture right now. Where is it? Hang on. If you're looking at the screen, this is his picture on the right-hand side. Let's see. It's coming up right now again. This is Rabbi Yisrael Spira, the Admor of Blue Shiva. He's from Poland, born in 1891, died in 1989. Many of the stories of Yaffa Eliach's incredible collection here are stories that were told to her and were told by the Blue Shiva Rebbe. The Rebbe, the Hasidic master, plays an important role in the world of Hasidus. That tzaddik, the word tzaddik means a righteous person, specifically in the Hasidic community, that means the spiritual leader of the community. That tzaddik had the spiritual mettle, had the spiritual capacity and power to bring people together and to bridge the perceived gap between us and God. It's an interesting paradox that Elie Wiesel points out elsewhere, that on the one hand, the Hasidim saw their Rebbe as a spiritual superman. On the other hand, the Rebbe taught them that really it was their individual, personal connection to God that was most important. Several of the stories here are about the Blue Shiva Rebbe, but also relate to how people revered and understood and connected to their Rebbe. We mentioned in the last book, in the witness book about Elie Wiesel, that he was influenced by the bracha that his mother had received from a rebbe before the war. And this thread continues through this volume. One more introductory note before we open it up for some conversation is the idea of transcending time. One of the themes that Yaffa Eliach identifies in this book is that through a spiritual link, people who were in the moment within the Holocaust were somehow able to transcend time. Now, in different ways. So, for example, in one of the stories where the rabbi goes and he asks a man, he basically begs him for a free cup of coffee. And the man does him a tova, he does him a favor. And even though he was supposed to charge 20, I forget what it's called, 20 kopecks, whatever, for this cup of coffee, he gives it to the rabbi. The rabbi puts his hand over his head and he says a blessing and he drinks the cup of coffee. And the vendor, the man who gave him the cup of coffee, starts to cry. And he says, how terrible it is that I don't even recognize my own rabbi anymore. And the Blujever says to him, don't worry, it's the voice, that voice, the call of Yaakov, the voice of Yaakov that will transcend the hands, the ruthlessness, the butchery of Esav. This through the voice, this young man is able to transcend the circumstance in which they're in and go back to his Rebbe before the war. He was able to now reconstruct in his mind. And what was so troubling to him, what was so tragic, was he felt like that was lost for a moment, that he didn't have that connection, that he couldn't recognize his Rebbe. But yet, through the Rebbe's voice, he was able to come back and transcend that immediate circumstance of where they were at that time and go back before the war. This is the case of many of these stories. And this is why perhaps for us it's so important to keep telling and learning and listening to these stories, because we could transcend our own time to go back to generations ago, to people maybe who were part of our life and now are in the other world. They've gone to the next world. But through spirituality, through our inner neshama, our soul connects and transcends to those who came before and those who will come after. And the same way that those individuals who were suffering the most monstrous destruction were able, in many cases, in many ways, to transcend their experience by connecting to something before or to something after. The image of the story, the image of Shalosh Udos. What is Shalosh Shudas? Shalosh Shudas is the third meal. It's the time when Shabbos is ebbing away. There's almost a magical quality to Shalosh Shudas. And for a man to be in Mauthausen and to imagine Shalosh Shudas at his grandfather's table, that's transcendence. And that's one of the qualities of many of these stories. So what I'd like to do now is I'd like to pause this introduction and give an opportunity for people to take a moment and share their own reflections on some of these stories.